Okay, in Perek Daled Mishnah Aleph, we pick up from the paragraph beginning, V'hinei b'inyanei ha'yira. The last paragraph I had explained orally when we were doing it. V'hinei b'inyanei ha'yira, page Kuf Lamed Hei, the top. He has a very innovative definition of Yerushalayim. Now, before we start, I'll just tell you the traditional idea regarding Yerushalayim, what Yerushalayim involves. Traditionally, there are two parts to Yerushalayim. One is called Yerus HaOinish, and one is called Yerus HaRoimimus. Yerus HaOinish is not sinning because someone's afraid of being punished, the fires of Gehenim, or being punished in this world. That's called Yerus HaOinish. And there's another type of yira, which is called yiras ha'raimimus. That means one being in such awe of the Bairi Olam that a person wouldn't sin, because he doesn't want to, interfere or, somehow block the yiras ha'raimimus. He's so, or such awe of the Bairi Olam. Now that's traditionally, the two types of yira. Within that, there's a certain amount of disagreement as to their place. Now, those who understand the Kavan of the Rambam, that Yiras HaOinish, being of, not sinning because you're afraid of being punished, is only for simple people. For ordinary, for his traditional, the Rambam's traditional grouping of Noshim Ketanim V'Ami Haaretz in one group. Those who don't know much, and therefore have to come on to Yiras HaOinish not to sin. And Yiras HaRoimimus is the higher and preferred level of Yiras HaRoimimus. The Arbali Musar, and Rabbi Miller was the first person I heard who speaks about it, but I've seen it printed in the names of certain of the Slabodka school of Musar, who hold that Yiras HaOinish is for everybody. Rabbi Isaac Sher writes about this, that Yiras HaOinish is really for everybody. It's not true, it's only for Amei Aretz. And I remember Rabbi Miller bringing a raya, because when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron HaKohen that a Kohen is not allowed to drink alcohol and then do Avaida, he says that one who drinks alcohol, does Avaida, will die just as Nadav and Avihu died. And Rashi says it's not similar to someone who warns someone and says, if you do this, you'll get sick. It's not as powerful as if you say, if you do this, you'll get sick and die, just like the fellow you know got sick and died. So it's pretty clear that Aaron HaKohen, who was certainly on a higher level, had Yiras HaOinish as part of his deterrent to do Averis. So be that as it may, those are traditionally the two types of attitude of Yiras HaRoimimus: a fear of punishment and a fear of the awesomeness of the Bairi Olam. That's traditionally. Now, let's say Archai Velazhina puts a spin on Yira, and as far as I know, it's pretty unique. Let's see what he says. Hinei binyanei ha'yira kamasugin gedoilim adein cheker. There are unlimited types of Yira. Achayira ha'muchrachas, the essential Yira, humashomer Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Yiratzen. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said to his disciples, Yiratzen may be God's will, your fear of God should be like the fear of being seen by a human being. When a person sins, he says, let no man see me. And he's afraid. He's afraid of a person seeing him. So, who are yira mitzad habusha? That's yira from the aspect of being ashamed. Maimer chazal. Let God's fear be upon you that you're not sin. That's busha. Because he'd be ashamed from the Bairi Olam who's standing over him always. God is everywhere. And if a person would be looking at him, he wouldn't do it. Kesh Baruch Hu is watching him do his work.
You could bring a riot to this from the Gemara. Isn't there Abba Chamisha by Gneva and Gezela because you're afraid of One is afraid of Adam and one is afraid of
God. Are you confusing that? Okay, Ganav and Gazlin. Okay, Ganav and Gazlin.
One is afraid of man.
We say Ganav is worse because he's afraid of man and not afraid of God. See, and let me just finish this another line. Kavur begos from Abar Chaim Zayis Hayira Toil Vaday Losa Meira Lishomer in Pach Yakush. He's saying the essential yira is busha. Busha meaning to be ashamed to do things in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And no doubt there's such a thing, as Herbie is saying, that a ganav pays kefil because he shows he's afraid of human beings and not afraid of God. Whereas a gazlan steals in front of people, he's not afraid at all. He's not afraid not of man and not of God. That's not his man. That's true. But to say that that's Yerushalayim, that's Rechaim Volozhin's Chiddush. Because from Ganav and Gazlin, we don't see it as the definition of Yerushalayim. He's defining Yerushalayim as a fear to be seen by God doing a sin. So if a person could imagine that God is watching, he'd be afraid to do it. I mentioned in the past my thought, which doesn't always work, but my thought that when I used to have this chus to drive Rav Moshe in the car, so I would drive very carefully. I would not drive in a way that would cause a chilul Hashem. And I'd be careful. I'd stop at a yellow light and et cetera. And when Rav Moshe is not in the car, so I have my problems with my behavior and my driving. So Rav Moshe is not in the car, but God is in the car. So I guess there's a difference. I'm not sure what the difference is. I guess the basic difference is that when Rav Moshe was in the car, I saw him with my eyes. And when God is in the car, I have to think to realize that God is in the car.
Seeing is believing.
So seeing is believing. They say seeing is not believing. No, seeing is knowing and believing is believing. But
sensible.
That's what you mean, right? The senses could
how's
see
that
it.
Different than the second mean interpretation of Yiras Shemayim,
Yiras Yerum. Of Yiras Haraimimus.
So it seems similar.
It seems similar. Fear of violating the awesomeness of God. I never heard it explained as busha. You may be right. I've never heard it explained as busha. I've heard it explained as an idea that if a person recognized the Bari Olam, he couldn't do it. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's the same basic idea. But perhaps. At any rate, it's a, you know, it's like the story they say, I don't know which of the Bali Musar, about the wagon driver that was, stealing apples off a tree. So he said, they're cooked, he's looking. And the wagon driver hopped into his wagon, drove off and looked back. He said, who's looking? He said, God is looking, you know, that's why he sees you. It would be nice, you know, if God would be kind enough to tell us. So one thing is that we don't see God looking, and I think another aspect is there's a certain feeling that you know, can handle it with God. You know, like, we're not perfect, but God understands. Like there's this image of God as a grandfather, the image of the Rav Shlalem that revealed himself to Daniel was the image of a Zayda. So you feel like your grandpa, you can always explain it to. It's also a certain idea that everyone around you is no better. So anyway, I think there's a certain element that prevents a person from having busha.
What comes to mind is a story you once told about Rav Palm, that one of his, I think it was in the preface to one of his books, that one of his talmidim found money in a book or something that he purchased, and he gave the money back, and then he's saying why, and he said because it was a talmid of Rav Palm. Rav Palm wasn't there, but he probably had an
influence. It was the influence. Okay. I'm not sure that was busha either, but
it's
this
it's
idea.
More positive because, you know, he had a positive
Okay, Aval Oid, he's not done yet. Yesh busha gam b'shas b'eis asiyas ha-mitzvah. There's a higher level of busha, which suddenly has taken the place of the words Yerushalayim, when a person does a mitzvah. Ki hinei. Like ha-shiyidma ha-adam ki toiv gadol hu oisa b'asasiyas ha-mitzvah. Person thinks he's doing something wonderful when he does a mitzvah. Oilei mil b'teira, where he's learning v'roi lei ba'adzel Yerushalayim umalaya. And he feels he's wonderful, he's great. Look at this. Nobody in the shul here. It's just a bunch of us and two others. So we're wonderful, right? Everybody else is home fighting with their wives. What is lousy? Good. Achbem is napachu. It's not really so. Ki gedayla v'cheshiva sulanu shezechino lezeh l'kayim mitzvot l'hagim shetayrasai. We should feel fortunate, not deserving, not entitled. We should feel fortunate that we're doing this. K'mashan u'ayim rashi k'shan v'soysav. Hashem made us holy through his mitzvahs. K'erav tonam ha'kein l'avay desecha. So that it's a sort of a privilege to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should have achnoah. Ki ba me kaycha gadol shabali dabek emem alech Hashem tzvakis b'Torah shishashuav. In what way was a person zaycha to study Torah, which is a Kaddish Baruch Hu's beloved occupation? V'uloi Torah loy, v'loi hada loy l'amid b'heichel melech mikdash Hashem. So it's like a person is given the schus to be mishamish to God l'adar. So he doesn't feel he's great that he's mishamish to God l'adar. He feels privileged to be mishamish to God l'adar. So he's saying that should be a person's attitude when he sits and learns. He should feel privileged to do so. Even if he's pure, has no averus, what does it mean? And certainly, if he has averus, which puts him to shame in front of God, such a person who feels privileged to stand before God, may be kabbal on himself, to abandon his ways, his bad ways, of Yashav Oyla Kisla, not to go back to his foolishness. V'yivakish meis Hashem she'azreyu, b'chastei la'asik ha'tayra v'leida aimka. V'yosim alibay, ki davar gadlu mevakish. You should understand that it's a great thing he wants. Ha'layi mevakish ani, mei nediv, b'shiflis ofa yiraymamu. If an ani is mevakish from a wealthy person, from the low point to lift him up, and to sit him among the wealthy people, how humbly a person requests this, and he asks with busha. So that's if you ask a person to lift you up. Certainly if we ask God to be able to understand Torah, which is the most valuable of all valuable things, many thousands of times is great. If he thinks that way, he'll be embarrassed. When he requires from Hashem understanding, so what he's saying here is this, that we have a incorrect set of values. The set of values is off. So we have a set of values that we're doing God a favor when we do things properly. And the truth is, the other way around, that we should see it as a privilege to serve Hashem. I'll give you a marshal. I don't know. We sit here often. So I don't know how many times I'm repeating myself. You know, the problem is that I learn with a lot of different groups of people. So I never know who I'm repeating myself with. But one of my favorite examples in Shalom Bayis is the following. The idea of men and women. You ask a chassan. He's innocent, he's not married yet, and he's thinking about doing things right. So you ask a chassan, if you come home at the end of the day and your wife says to you, you know, I worked hard on supper, but it burnt. What would your response be? So have I mentioned this to you recently? I don't know. But what would your response be? Every man's response, certainly an unmarried fellow who has this noble idea of marriage, his answer is, no big deal, we can go out to eat. Like 100 out of 100. No big deal, doesn't matter, we can go out to eat. That's the wrong answer. Why is it the wrong answer? Because you see, he's thinking, the test is, will I get angry, she burnt supper. That's the test. Will I get angry, she burnt supper. Now, a woman doesn't think her husband's going to get angry, she burnt supper. That, certainly when he's a chassan, and she's a kala, and she thinks that he's nice. So that's not the point. Her point is that I worked hard, and it burnt, and I feel bad. I worked hard, and it burnt. And he says, oh, it doesn't matter, because we've got to eat anyway. So that it's upsetting to her. What do you mean it doesn't matter? I just told you I worked hard and it burnt. So tahara, that's totally the wrong answer. So why is that happening? Because the set of values is off. He's thinking the test is, will the husband get angry? His wife burns supper. You know, it's not expected of him that he'll get angry. She burns supper. That's not the test. That's not the equation. The equation is, I feel bad. I worked hard and I messed up, and I feel bad about it. So you have to express your, I don't know, condolences. You can't say the word sympathy to women. I learned. Women don't want sympathy. They want empathy. There's sympathy and empathy is only an S and an E. It's really the same thing. But sympathy means that they're a nebuch and you feel sympathetic. Empathy means you feel along with them. It basically means the same thing. You have to empathize. You have to understand their feelings.
The husband should think very highly of his wife, because his wife demonstrated that he's like a god. She prepared for him a burnt offering.
I think it goes over very well with your wife. She prepared a burnt offering for him. Anyway, this is my point. My point is that when you're talking two languages, you end up with misunderstandings. If Gemara has an episode in the Dorim between a man and a woman who got married and they spoke different languages. He spoke Aramaic and she spoke Hebrew, and it led to very amusing. Now, if they would be Chinese and English, it would be easier, because if she says Chinese to me, I'm not going to misunderstand. But Aramaic and Hebrew are related. So, you know, he said, what do you want for supper? And he said something and she meant something else, and they messed up, until the high point of the story is she gives him candles for supper. And he says to her, go tavre abava, which means to him, break it against the doorway. And actually they have a neighbor named Bava Bambuta. So go tavre abava. She goes, it's him over there with the two candles, which is the like the high point of the story. Bava Ben Buta takes it well. He says, "Asisa Ritzayim Baylech, Yirasa Shit Lecha Hashem Shtei Banim Ke Bava Ben Buta." So she gets a blessing for it at the end. So you know, it's like when you read it, it's a comical story with people that speak two languages. Actually, every husband and wife speak two languages. It's always that way. That in certain areas, men and women speak different languages. So the idea here that he's trying to portray is this idea, there are two languages. There's a language of, I'm great, I'm doing God this big favor, and I'm going out to learn tonight, I'm going to Minyan, I'm even going to make it to Brachis, and I'm wonderful. And the other attitude is, what do you mean you're wonderful? You're privileged to be one who is able to go out, to go out to learn, to go out to daven. It's a privilege, it's a schus, and then, so this idea is a nice idea. That is a definition of Yerushalayim is, again, to me, the Rechaim Volozhin is spin on, I guess, on Yerushalayim. But that's his explanation. I think we can do a few more lines. Kazedi b'shleimah melech alav shalom ki moitza o yimoitza chayim. One who finds God finds life. Ratzalayim misha mazik oisi lemitzia b'zeh matzah chayim. Who considers himself fortunate to find God finds life, because Torah is life to those who find it. Not because of his own greatness. It should be Hevina. You have Hevina? The Chakra. Hechina. Probably should be Hevina. He understood Torah and he was Chakra, and he was able to look into it. Kima Yidei Amolai Azrei Hashem U'metziya Matzah. Through his amelus, Hashem helped him. He found the Metzia, Kamaimer, Chazal, Yogati, Umatzasi, Tamin. If I worked hard and found it, believe him, Ritzleimer, Achashi, Yigabatayra, if you work on learning, Im Kalze Yamin, Kiach Metzia Matzah. Believe that it was a Metzia. This is a part, the Velt says, name is Fasemis, and even if you work hard on Torah, it's still a Metzia. Kish Baruch Hu, gives you something. If you say you worked hard and didn't find, if he says that he worked hard and it wasn't a mitziah, al tamin is not so. He'll say he understood it, but he understood from his own. That's not true. He didn't work on it and he had a mitziah. Don't believe. All right, so this is an attitude. It's a healthy attitude. And Halavai should at least, for a brief period, have it.